Mark, let's turn to Mark chapter 7. Okay. Mark chapter 7. And again, I invite you to join us if you have not already started reading through the Gospel of Mark. It's the shortest gospel of the four. It's basically, it's a fast-moving gospel, I believe, accounts, and the chapters aren't all that long. You've got a couple that are a little longer than some of them, but I just want to encourage you. It's a blessing to me to hear that. I know of at least 30 of us that have told me, either by email or left me a message, are going through the gospel together, and that's a blessing to me. It does give God a chance to speak to our hearts. So again, please join if you can, if you're able to. Mark, you can pick up chapter 9 today if you like, or if you're a fast reader. Some people had, when they sent me a message, they said, I did all four chapters this morning. I said, well, God bless you. That's great. I'm glad you're that interested and went through it. But so it's a blessing to hear that to my heart. I thank God for it. So if you have your Bible, would you join me as we make this confession? If you agree with it, the words will be on the screen. I ask you to join me, join us, and let's just say it together. You ready? This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. God's word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. By its truth, I am set free. Free indeed. I'm ready to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the Word of God. My mind is alert. My heart is open. My spirit is receptive. I'll never be the same. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. You sound great. Mark chapter 7, Jesus is speaking, beginning in verse 21. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile a man. Jesus revealed to us the heart of our problem. Did y'all get that? It's our heart. The heart of our problem is the heart. He lists 13 sins that come out of the heart that defile us. But thank God, what we need, he provides. We need a new heart. And when we are born again, as Jesus said it, through repentance, we turn from unbelief, we turn from sin to place our faith in Jesus as Lord. We believe in him, not just intellectually, but with our heart. The Bible says it's like a new birth. We're born spiritually, and God sends his Holy Spirit to live within us. If you want to just write these verses down, we stay right here in Mark. I'll read them to you. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Galatians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We read these words. It says that, and because you are sons, referring to spiritually, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So the Holy Spirit, God brings his Holy Spirit to live within us when we are born again. And we could say, maybe in one sense, that our heart is both the problem and the solution. So I have my natural human heart that is just as messed up as anyone else's and wants to do wrong. But then because I know the Lord and because of his mercy, he has given me his Holy Spirit, and his Holy Spirit lives in me, and he makes me want to do right. And we have those competing forces. Some of you have probably heard the illustration of if two dogs are in a fight, which one is going to win? The one you feed more, that's right. All right. So again, let me just give you a couple of verses here in in Galatians, if you want to just write them down, I'll read them to you. I wanted to read them to you from the New Living Translation. The Bible says this in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. 5, 16 says, "So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives, then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves." The New King James Translation says, "Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh or those sinful desires." So to walk in the Spirit. Then verse 17 says, "The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other." Can I get a witness of it? Oh my goodness. "So these two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions." So how do we walk or live in the Spirit for victory? And again, I believe the answer is in our heart. Jesus gave it to us a little later in Mark chapter 12. If you're reading those verses, you'll read it this week. It's found in Mark chapter 12 and verse 30. And I just took the words of Jesus as the title of the message today, where he just simply said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." So the message this morning is just simply this: love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Would you say that with me? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. To all of our heart. And when I hear a scripture like this, my somewhat human tendency is to focus on my own failures. Of I don't love the Lord like I should. But the Lord knows our battles and our struggles. I'm so thankful that, you know, when David wanted to build the temple for the Lord, he said, "I've got this nice house to live in, a mansion, and God's dwelling in tents. His presence and the Ark of the Covenant is in a tent. I'm going to build him a nice house." And first the prophet told him, "That sounds great. Do what's in your heart." But then God told the prophet, "No, I'm going to allow his son to do it. He's been a man of war. He's been a man known for fighting. I'm going to give his son peace. He's going to build it." But God gave David credit because it was in his heart. And so God knows our heart, and he knows if we know him, we want to love him and we want to do right. What did Jesus tell us the night that he was betrayed? He said, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." So we have those competing forces, but we have the Holy Spirit living within us. Christianity is not a lifeless religion of rituals and rules. Christianity is a life-giving relationship, knowing God as our Father through faith in his Son and indwelt by his Holy Spirit. Thank God that he loved us enough to come to us, and his Holy Spirit lives in us to help us love him and help us do his will. We can do what God calls us to do. If you've read through the book of Mark so far, you've seen at least a couple of times where it says Jesus was moved with compassion. You remember reading that? It says he was moved with compassion, and he touched an unclean leper and cleaned him and healed him. And he was moved with compassion when he saw multitudes that were like sheep scattered without a shepherd. And he taught them, and he reached out to them. Thank God, he was moved with compassion and came to reach us in our sinful state. And he came to rescue us from sin and death. And he loved us so much that he suffered and died on the cross to bear our judgment for us. And when we come to know him, his Spirit lives in us to help us love him and to live for him. I'm so glad that Jesus took the punishment I deserve for me, and now I don't have to face it. I thank God I can face him in mercy and forgiveness and love and grace, and I don't have to face him in that type of wrath and judgment. And he calls us simply to love him with all of our heart, with everything in us. So this morning, I'd like to just share two truths of how to live this out, because our heart really affects every area of our lives. So here are two, and I'll just begin reading. Let me just start with the verses in Mark chapter 8, if you turn there to verse 15. Mark chapter 8 and verse 15. This is what the Bible says. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, and it says, "Then he charged them," or he says, charged them, saying, "Take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they, the disciples, reasoned because They had only taken one loaf of bread, so they were thinking among themselves, it's because we forgot the bread. Now, if you've read along, you may be familiar with what Jesus does with bread. So that really wasn't an issue, but that's just what they were thinking. But Jesus, verse 17, being aware of it, said to them, why do you reason because you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? This is very important. And do you not remember? When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said 12. And then in verse 20, also when I broke the seven loaves for the 4,000, how many large baskets full of fragments did you take up? And they said 7. So he said to them, how is it that you do not understand? So the first area that I believe I would like to ask you to just maybe write down if you're writing notes of what my heart affects. I want to make it personal. My heart affects my spiritual understanding. My heart affects my spiritual understanding. Jesus was relating something there in the natural, but remember he said, how is your heart hardened? What is it about your heart that's hindering you from seeing spiritually and hearing spiritually? What I'm trying to say, he said, do you not yet perceive? And even those numbers, I don't believe there's an accident here or coincidence. When Jesus fed those 5,000, that was basically to like a Jewish multitude. The number of 5 represents grace in the Bible. And when the little boy donated his food to the cause, he had, do you remember how many loaves of bread? It was 5 loaves of bread representing grace and 2 fish representing witness. And so Jesus multiplied it. When he went to another area, it was non-Jewish. It was more like a Gentile area. And he took up 7 baskets full. 7 is a number of completeness as a picture that the gospel is not just for the Jewish people. Jesus, the living bread, is for all the world and all nations. So he asked him that spiritual understanding. How is it? See, anyone, whether you're a Christian or not, can learn information in the Bible. Is that right? I mean, we don't have to be a Christian. You can be an atheist and learn some type of facts or information that comes from the Bible. But spiritual understanding comes from God. Spiritual understanding is knowing God and his will. Spiritual understanding helps us to grow in Christ's likeness. I'll say it like this. It's revelation that leads to transformation. It's revelation that leads to transformation, and it has more to do with our heart than our intellect. God uses our intellect, but he's not limited to that, thank God. So he speaks to our heart, and he reveals himself, and he reveals truths of his word to us. Now, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. In the scripture, leaven represents evil and hypocrisy. And the word translated, would you look at this in verse where it says, is your heart hardened? Verse 17, is your heart still hardened? If you want to write this scripture down, I want to show you another scripture. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14, where Jesus, he used that word there where it's hardened. It's translated a different way here. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14 says, but their minds were blinded. It's the same word. Where he says your heart's hardened. Hardened relates to being dull or blind spiritually. So he says, but their minds were blinded, for until this day, the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament. You see how our eyes can be blinded to truth of Scripture, speaking of our mind, because the veil is taken away in Christ. And then the next verse says, but even to this day when Moses is read, a veil lies on their hearts. So if we allow our heart to be hardened, then we become blinded spiritually. And you know, that's the same root. It's the same root for the word for hardened and for stubborn. Stubborn is the same root. In fact, it's translated that way in one translation I read. He says, is your heart still stubborn? But so if we allow our hearts, for whatever reason, to become dull or hardened or stubborn, it will blind us to truths of God's word, but it will also blind us to the working of God's Spirit. Because Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Now that's, that's Matthew 5:8, I believe it is, if you want to write it down, Matthew 5:8. "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And I want to see God, of course, in heaven for all eternity, but I want to see him in my life right now. I want to see his working. I want to see his grace. I want to see his favor. I want to see his faithfulness. I want to see him working in the world now. And I believe I can show you from those Beatitudes that it's not just for heaven. When Jesus said in the same context, he said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." Is that in heaven or is that now? It's now. When he said, "Blessed are you when they persecute you and say all manner of evil against you, rejoice and be exceedingly glad." We're not going to be persecuted in heaven. That's going to be for right now. So we see God now. We just sang, "I see the evidence of your goodness in my life." Thank God we can. And if we don't see it, I'm not being harsh, but I would ask you, where is your heart in relation to the Lord? Is your heart submitted to him? Do you want to love him and to live for him? Because if our hearts are right with God, man, we can enjoy the blessings of his love. We can enjoy the blessings of his life and his goodness, and then we love him and we want to live him. And not only that, in the parable Jesus gave of the seed, remember what the grounds represent? Our hearts. And you put them together, you get the complete picture. So Matthew said, if you receive the word with understanding, again, not just intellectual, but spiritual understanding. Mark said, if you receive it, you accept it, you welcome it. Luke said, if you receive it with a good and right heart. So what happens is if our heart is not hardened and our heart is right with God, then the seed of God's word gets into our heart, it takes root, it grows and produces fruit. How many want to be fruit bearers of Jesus and his word in our hearts and lives? But do you see how it comes back to the heart? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Would you say that with me? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Would you tell that to someone next to you? Would you just smile and tell them, love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, when Jesus said, look at these the questions again. Having eyes, do you not see? Having ears, do you not hear? Jesus spoke those words right between two accounts. In one account, he healed a man who was deaf, and then another account, he healed a man who was blind. And I believe these are illustrations for us. So let me just give you the second point, and then I want to show you those scriptures and hopefully maybe bring it to light a little bit of a practical way where we can live it out. So my heart affects first my spiritual understanding, but it also affects my scriptural living. And I'll give you the verses for that in just a moment. You'll see them in Mark chapter 8. So spiritual understanding and then scriptural living. They're important to go together because, again, God's word is not just to be learned. Truth is not just to be learned. It's to be lived. So my heart, if my heart is not right with God, not only is it going to hinder my spiritual understanding and blind me to certain truths, but if my heart is not right with God, if my heart is hardened, am I going to live for God? Am I going to do his word? You see how it always comes back to the heart? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. If you look at back at chapter 7, Mark chapter 7, and beginning in verse 32, we read these words, Mark 7:32. Says, they brought to him, Jesus, one who was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to put his hand on him. And he took him aside from the multitude. Now, here's a man who can't hear, all right? So Jesus comes up to him, but he can see. So Jesus puts his fingers in this man's ears. So he sees. Here's somebody you can't hear, but you see this man coming up to you doing like this, putting his hand, putting his fingers in the ears. And then he sighs And the Bible says that he spit. I don't know if that means, or if it may mean like this. And he touched his mouth and touched the man who couldn't hear. He touched his mouth. And he said, in the Aramaic language, be open. And that man could hear. And not only were his ears opened, he could speak plainly. And it's interesting to me that it says, he took him aside from the multitude. Now, God moves among multitudes, but he relates to us and speaks to us individually. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. I call my own sheep by name, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. He is our shepherd, but is he your shepherd? It's personal. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I'm glad he's yours too. He's mine. He's my shepherd. So he speaks to us personally. So he heals this man, giving us an account. Then he tells his disciples, having ears to hear, do you not hear? Remember what he told every church in Revelation? He who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. We need the Holy Spirit to open our spiritual ears to hear what he's saying to us, to give us revelation. And then afterward, in Mark chapter 8, the Bible says this in verse 22. Mark chapter 8, verse 22. It says that Jesus came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. Here again. So Jesus took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. Let me pause here just a second. Bethsaida was one of about three cities Jesus basically rebuked because he did so many miracles in those cities, Bethsaida, Capernaum, and Chorazin, and he did so many miracles there, and he said they refused to believe. He said it's going to be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon and Sodom in the day of judgment than for you, because I've been right here with you working miracles in your midst, and you refuse to repent. Now, I don't know if that's why Jesus took him outside the town. I believe there's more to it than that. But, Kim, would you sit your Bible down a second? And if you come here, I'm going to ask you not to cheat. Come up here. I want you to close your eyes. No, you're not going to hold on to anything. That's my... You mess up my illustration. Jesus, remember, now this man can't see. A man grabs his hand and starts leading him. But he doesn't know where he's going or where he's going to end up or necessarily what this man's going to do. My hands are chilly, so, but keep your eyes closed, all right? Trust me. And Jesus, why are you walking so slow? Come on, just make a baby. You're making baby steps. No. That's right, you can't see. You got to trust me. I'm not going to throw you over the cliff. So Jesus leads this man out of the town. Come on. All right. No, you're not. There's not steps here. See, what does the Bible tell us? For we walk by faith, not by 2 Corinthians 5:7. All right, so, but Jesus gets him out of the town. And then the Bible says this, I'm going to read to you. It says he put his hands on him. He led him out of the town. Again, he spits. He may have just put his hand in his fingers and then placed them on his eyes like this. All right, so he puts them on his eyes. And then he pulls his hands away and he says, do you see anything? And the man is kind of blurry vision. He said, I see men, I see people walking, but they look like trees. And then, so Jesus put his hands on him again on his eyes and took them away. And the Bible says he saw clearly. So you can see. All right, thank you. Watch your step going down the... Let me ask you a question. Could Jesus have healed the man with either the word or even just one touch? So he did it for us. There's an illustration here. And remember, he just asked the disciples, having ears to hear, do you not hear? Having eyes, do you not see? How is your heart still hardened? I believe the message in the miracle for us is, like that man, if we will trust the Lord and follow him closely, step by step, wherever he leads us, and we're in obedience to his word, that's really how he leads us, but also by his spirit. He makes it personal. That he will give us, he will bring us into clearer spiritual sight, clearer spiritual understanding, and he will reveal himself to us in ways that we would not know any other way if we didn't follow him. But if we follow him, he'll give us clearer, he'll open our ears, he'll give us clearer spiritual sight, and it may take more than one touch, maybe more than one revelation, but we'll eventually see him. We'll eventually see him. We'll have a greater revelation of Jesus, of his love for us, his goodness, and his blessings in us, and we'll enjoy those blessings more because we can see clearly because he's opened our eyes. Isn't that what happened to the disciples? They were, if you continue reading, they didn't, he said, I'm gonna be killed. I'm gonna rise again a third day. And they like, we don't understand what that means. He told them over and over. Even on resurrection day, they didn't get it until later, and they finally came to that full revelation. But that's picture of all of us. If we just keep walking with the Lord, keep our heart right, he will give us spiritual understanding. And he will help us to walk in what I would call scriptural living, and we'll come into greater revelations of who he is, of his blessings and love for us, and we'll get to enjoy those blessings and share them with others. And here's the real bottom line, isn't it? We'll grow more like Jesus. That we get to be more like him. So I'll give you these last few verses. Let me give you those from the scriptural living. Mark chapter 8, Jesus speaking in verse 34. I'll give you this and one more reference, I'm done. Mark chapter 8, verse 34 says, when Jesus had called the people to himself with his disciples, he said to them, whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Let me pause there just a second. Notice, not take up Jesus' cross. His was exclusive. Take up our personal cross. We all have a cross who follow Jesus. We have to be willing to deny ourselves in order to follow him fully. But my cross will not be your cross. Your cross will not be someone else's. It'll be personal for you. But God knows what we need. We have to live out our own walk with the Lord. So as you love the Lord with all your heart, I love the Lord with all my heart, we'll be following Jesus, but we'll have our own unique path to walk. It's personal, all right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. And then verse 35, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Why would anyone deny himself or herself and take up their cross? Love inspires action. Love inspired Jesus to leave the glory of heaven to bear our sin, to suffer and die on a cross for us. And when we experience and we receive his love and his mercy and his grace and his forgiveness, his love in our heart inspires us to live for him. So that's what it means to follow to scriptural living. And then I'll give you this one last reference if you want to write it down. I'll read it to you. The words will be on the screen. Colossians chapter 1. Verses 9 and 10. I love this prayer. I pray it often for you. I pray it for myself. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says, for this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled. Please check out these words. Filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and what? Spiritual understanding. Why? That you may walk or live worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, because our heart affects our spiritual understanding and our scriptural living. Before I close in prayer, I want to just let you know, I put new articles out on the table. I try to do it every month. One is called Recognizing the Afflictions of Our Own Hearts. I read over this again yesterday. Very relevant, I believe, to the message today if you'd like to help yourself to one on the way out. So let me ask you this. Because Jesus said the ones who love him are the ones who keep his commandments. When we fall, did y'all catch that? I didn't say if. Even as followers of Jesus, we want to do right, we love him. When we fall and sin, it's his love in our heart that inspires us to get back up and keep going and keep following him, knowing he didn't give up on us. And by his grace, we're not walking away from him. Do you love him? He loves you. My prayer is that we're going to meditate on that this week. Those nine words, I think it is, love the Lord your God. Is he your God? Is he your Lord? With all your heart. And when we're tempted, love the Lord your God with all your heart. May the Holy Spirit bring it up in you. And when you want to let anger control you, not just be angry, but let it control you, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And when you aren't sure about a decision what to make, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And may he fill us and lead us and guide us and use us into greater revelation of himself, ultimately to help us live it out for his glory. The world needs a witness of Jesus, don't they? It's us to be his light. If you have not received the life and love of Jesus, if you have not opened your heart to believe the testimony of his word, will you do it today? Is God speaking to your heart that you know your heart's not right with God, but you want to be? That's coming from God. No demon will ever try to influence you to be right with God. The Holy Spirit is drawing you if you have that desire to be right with God today. I'd like to pray for you. Can we just close in prayer? Father, we pray that you would just move by your Holy Spirit even now, drawing people to yourself. Lord, each of us, wherever we are, whether we have not come to know you yet or we've walked with you for years, I pray that you would draw us closer than we've ever been before. I pray we walk in a greater revelation of your truth and your love and life for us. And Lord, we thank you for that. Help us to live for you. We need your help. Thank you that you're available. I would just like to ask before we stand, would you keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed for just a moment, just an attitude of prayer. Is there anyone here today, if you would just say, Brother Rocky, would you pray for me? I want to be right with God. I'm not sure if I am or not, but I want to be, and I'm ready to make that right today. I'd like to ask you, would you just lift your hand up right where you are seated in this place? And if you hold them up just a second, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Yes, thank you, thank you. You can go ahead and put your hands down. Father, I lift up these who've raised their hands, Lord, with honest hearts today. I pray that you're going to reveal yourself to them, that there be no doubt that you are Lord, you are Shepherd, and they know you. And so I pray that they would just settle in their heart right now. If they've never done it before, that right now, that in their heart, they believe your word, they believe you suffered and died on the cross to pay for your sins, and right now, they are going to receive and believe and confess you as the only Lord and Savior to the glory of God. Help us to follow you all of our days. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me?